What a gospel. Luke 24, if you want to go and pray with that again. It's the great road to Emmaus. What a gospel. All these stories in this octave of Easter are all about resurrection. And one common theme that happens so frequently is that people who knew Jesus during his earthly ministry do not recognize him as the risen Lord. It happens to Mary Magdalene at the tomb. It happens here with Cleopas and his companion. It happens in other times. And there's something both humorous and profound about that, right? So there's humor all over these stories, by the way. If you don't believe that, you haven't read them close enough. For example, in this story tonight, what are you talking about? Are you the only one in all of Jerusalem who doesn't know all the things that have taken place there? And Jesus says, what sort of things? He's the only one who knows exactly what has taken place. He's like, I don't know, you tell me. And then they tell him, right? And then he has to tell them the full story, right? Jesus just shows up, passes through doors. Hey. Right? Don't freak out. Why are you afraid? He asked that question once. Why are you afraid? Why are you terrified? I don't know, because you were dead, okay? And now you're back. And you might be mad at us because we abandoned you. I don't know, right? So there is humor on this. And by the way, and please don't ever buy the lie that being somber and sober is recipe for holiness. There are times to be somber and sober, but someone who's like that all the time is just kind of just insufferable, okay? Like, the Lord laughed a lot, okay? I'm firmly convinced of that, okay? Okay, anyway, back to this. This gospel tonight, like I said, in other times, the people who knew Jesus in his life don't recognize him in the resurrection. And why is that? And I submit there's a couple different ways, but one that is really important is people couldn't understand how suffering played in to the Lord's triumph. Repeatedly. Peter stumbles at that. He confesses in Matthew 16, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you're right. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. So I'll call you Peter. And upon this rock I'll build my church. And then the very next thing that Jesus does is say, in no uncertain terms, the Son of Man will be betrayed, will be handed over, will be scourged and mocked and crucified and will die, and on the third day he'll raise again. And then Peter rebukes Jesus and says, God forbid that should ever happen to you. And so then Jesus rebukes Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. And the stumbling block is suffering. And it's the same with these two disciples who are leaving Jerusalem and going back to their former way of life, walking away. And they cannot understand why Jesus needed to suffer. But Jesus was so clear in his ministry. It's just that suffering is so unnatural to us, and we want to avoid it so much that it didn't matter how much Jesus said it. They're like, I can't hear that. I won't hear that. And so they selectively listen. And anything that has to do with suffering is set aside. And we do the same thing in our life because we do not want to suffer. But there's no way around it. And there's only one way to Easter Sunday, and that is through Good Friday. Not around Good Friday, not underneath, not over. It's through Good Friday, through the cross, we get to the resurrection life. And Jesus says it to these men. Oh, how foolish you are. How slow to understand. Was it not necessary that the Messiah suffer and so enter into his glory? That resurrection that we talk about, that is the fundamental reality of the Christian faith, doesn't take away suffering. And it won't in your life. It won't in my life. It doesn't take away suffering. It transforms it. Suffering then becomes the road to the resurrection. And we need to know that. Because so much of the pain that people experience is a running away from suffering, which is completely impossible. You will suffer. You will suffer. And you will suffer greatly in this life. And anyone who says you won't, they're lying to you. It's not true. But what Jesus does is take up that royal road of suffering and transform it and connect it to what ultimately matters, which is the resurrection, which is the triumph of love over death, the triumph of grace over sin. And that then transforms every single suffering that you and I have. The resurrection doesn't make life easy. The resurrection transforms how we bear our crosses. And just as Jesus, in no uncertain terms, said suffering was necessary, he also said in no uncertain terms that anyone who wished to follow him would suffer. If you wish to be my disciple, deny yourself daily, take up your cross, and follow me. And friends, that is the recipe to joy. And it's the recipe to freedom. And it's the recipe to purpose in our lives. And Jesus wants that for you and for me. So will he pluck you out and save you from all your sufferings? No, he will not. He will not do that. And that doesn't mean the resurrection's not real. Jesus will give you the grace, because of the certainty of the resurrection, to take up your cross as well, to suffer them, but to do so not in a defeated way and not in a crushing way, but to do so in a way that is lifted up by hope, theological hope, not just optimism, theological hope that the suffering brings forth life, that Jesus' love is the final word, that no darkness in your life, no pain, no difficulty is ever final, but that Jesus transforms all of those experiences and elevates them and touches them with his grace, and through them they become fruitful and powerful and good. So if the cross is present in your life, that is a good thing, because that means that you are on the way to the resurrection. If you find yourself in Good Friday, that means you're closer to Easter Sunday. So, with our suffering then, bear it. Suffer it well, united to Jesus on the cross. Because with Jesus on the cross, there's always the connection to resurrection. That's why we have this crucifix, by the way. I told you before, that's what drew St. Francis to it. That he saw in Jesus on the cross, not just suffering, but when he contemplated the face of Christ there, he saw peace. A peace that he did not have in the midst of his own turmoil. And what he realized was to love like Jesus on the cross is the only way to have the peace that is demonstrated in that crucifix. The deep serenity, the deep trust, the victory that is Jesus's in the resurrection is already present and is guaranteed on the cross. That can be yours and mine as well. That's the truth we are called to live in. And that truth sets us free. So with Jesus, our crucified Lord, may we suffer well. And with Jesus, our resurrected Lord, may we know his victory.